broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it was refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March the 2nd in the year of our Lord 2020. Hour 2 at 2 in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. In the traditions of our founders, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And we have a constitutional republic, ladies and gentlemen, a unique experiment the founding fathers engaged in, and oh boy, has it been proven successful. Now, a lot of people would say, no, Sam, it's melted down. Yeah, when you don't follow the plan, it doesn't work, folks. Right? If you don't follow the plan to breathe, you'll die. And then don't blame it on breathing, for crying out loud. Come on, what are you thinking, folks? Use your brains. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips and the doctors in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley, welcome back, my brother.
Thank you so much, and I hope you guys are having a fine wintry day as we are. We had a big snowfall yesterday, and spring's only 3 weeks away. I can't believe it.
Amen to that, but hopefully spring is a spring, and it's they say it's going to come early. Isn't that what, what's that thing, Punxsutawney, what's that called, Kurt, said?
Punxsutawney Phil, I can't remember what he said this year.
Come on,
but,
Kurt, it said
so you did get early, some, buddy. You got some snow on the ground in the beautiful Cache Valley then.
Indeed, we did, Dr. Scott. It was looking a lot like Christmas yesterday. Now it's a sunshiny day today, but the snow is still here. So
how much did you get?
Say again?
How much snow did you get?
My place, we got 5 or 6 inches, I guess. So
it snowed most of the day here, but all we got was just a little tiny bit. You know, skiff. Just
you want to know why?
Melting.
Because spring's coming early, buddy.
Oh, that's right.
Just so you know, it's a little bit warmer is why the snow doesn't stick.
Very good.
Right? Isn't it because it's warmer that the snow doesn't stick, Scott?
Well, I presume so, but you guys live in the banana belt. It's kind of...
That's right. We're not in the Alaskan tundra.
But all I'm telling you is it's a little bit warmer, so I don't mind some spring snowstorms. I kind of like them, where we get a ton of water and then it melts and stuff. It's kind of cool, man.
We need the water. There's no question. We live in a desert. I mean, and people forget that very often. So, you know, it is a desert.
Don't worry. That dude's blossoming, though, buddy.
You bet.
It's working on it. We've got a ways to go, I still think, but we're on it. We're on it big time, like monkeys on bananas, folks. We're all over it. All right. Now, I got a headline that's kind of controversial. I want to just bounce off the doctor and see what he says about it. It says the following. Republicans are socialists. Democrats are communists. Both have plenty of fascism mixed in. Let me say that again. Republicans are socialists. Democrats are communists. Both have plenty of fascism mixed in. Doctor?
You know, it's interesting. Those people that keep track of these things, and I happen to be one of those strange ones, back in February of 2009, Newsweek magazine had a front cover. Look it up. It's got a blue hand and a red hand shaking. You know, we're all socialists now is the headline. And, you know, basically you think about Barack and his program, and he'd been elected in November of 2008. And the idea was that the whole country is moving to a European socialistic state kind of thing. And the concern, I think, that was recognized, I mean, I don't think Newsweek was discouraging this. In fact, I think they were encouraging it, knowing their, you know, management and everything. So-called conservative Republicans are nationalizing industries like banking and mortgage, expansion of welfare states, prescription drugs for the elderly. I mean, this thing of moving towards socialism and in embracing it. In fact, communism is socialism. Fabian socialism, democratic socialism, it's all just a little different flavor of the same poison. And they're all unconstitutional in the United States under the United States Constitution. And because of ignorance, our nation has been taking this with great gulps. And people think, oh, the communists. Well, the communists are just a socialist in a hurry. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, you look at a guy, Antonio Gramsci was an Italian communist back in the, 100 years ago. And he was so thrilled with the Bolshevik takeover of of Russia and how the communists had finally got a footprint and traction and everything. And he went there from Italy to celebrate with him. He nearly got put to death because Gramsci wanted a program that implemented socialism, communism, and they're very little difference in them. They just they have the same long-term effect, along with fascism. They're all a tyranny that has government.
Now let's quickly give people a little bit of an understanding of how it is. This is my understanding, Doctor, and I want you to double down on my statement to see one, how correct it is, and two, kind of explore some of the details here. Because Trump vows that America will never be a socialist country, and sadly, I got news for the Donald. We've been a socialist country for a long time, and we can prove it. But look, socialism is the communism on polite mode. Okay. We're not going to force you into it. What we're going to do is we're going to appeal to your kinder heart, and we're going to say all should be equal. Everybody should have everything. There should be no rich people, poor people. And so it's just super polite communism. And what happens is if you don't go along with socialism, eventually they'll just flat out reveal their communist agenda. But socialism is communism the polite way. Communism says we're going to control everything and shut you down. Fascism says we're going to deceive you into socialism by making you believe that we can have a government-business partnership. And so what we do is we literally let business own everything, but government control everything, and then we back our way in softly with socialism, and if you don't go along, we'll whip out the communism card. But all roads lead to communism is the point.
Well, there's no question about that, but fascism is very similarly oriented in the fact that fascism says, oh, you can keep your property, but we tell you how to use it. And so if you are a charter school, you're a fascist school. And that sounds rather brutal. Say, oh, no, the Nazi brown shirts and all this kind of stuff.
No, hold on. That's a communist school.
Well,
the brown shirts are a communist school. The school you mentioned, the government paid for whatever school, that's the fascist school, right?
Right. So here we go with fascist. Let's say you wanted to start a private school and you took government money and you're running with their money and they're telling you.
You're now a fascist school.
Right, exactly. And people won't admit that. But so here we are gleefully going down this pathway. All of them violate the United States Constitution. It's interesting. George Bernard Shaw was a noted English Fabian socialist. Now, like I say, democratic socialism, Fabian socialism, any kind of flavor of socialism is the same poison with a little bit of a different dressing.
It's just like different flavors.
Right. He said socialism, reduced to its simplest and legal practical expression, means the complete discarding of the institution of private property by transforming it into public property and the division of the resultant income equally and indiscriminately among the entire population. So while doctors still claim to be independent and all this kind of stuff, they're being directed by the government bureaucracy as to what kind of medicine, how they're going to get paid, when they're going to get paid, how they can treat things, and so on and so forth. I mean,
and if they don't go along, eventually the velvet hammer cranks up, doesn't it?
Well, it ultimately does. And in fact, I can give you lots of dictionary discussions about it. Actually, Marx and Engels recognized themselves as a virulent form of socialism. And regardless of the dressing you put on it and the lipstick you put on the pig or whatever it is, it still has the same outcome. And it goes back, speaking of pigs, to George Orwell's Animal Farm. Some are more equal than others. There's a hierarchy, and they get to, you know, be a little bit less onerously. In fact, they take the spoils, while the rest of us underlings and poor animals are put into the traces and have to pull our load to make everybody else succeed. There is this is completely violates the Constitution.
Private All right, so charter schools are fascist schools. Brown shirt schools by force are communist schools, but the public schools in America are socialist schools, sir.
But what's the difference? I guess that's where I come with it. I mean, I am, you know, we can say...
The difference is how you try to compel people to go along. either the fascist plan, you deceive people into thinking they're free when they're not, the socialist plan, you do it super politely, the communist plan, you do it all by force, but the end game is the same as yours and the point that I'm making here.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, we could talk at length about the schooling, because the pedagogy that's used in the school now, the scientific pedagogy that says here's how we teach, it's unseating, in you know, the communist words, all the old bourgeois ideas, and they're, I mean, this idea that we're a free people or whatever is long gone. It's tragic to me, and it's not impossible to return to that, and that's what our whole life's work is to try and restore the foundation that allowed us to be this freest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected people on earth. But what has happened is that we've slid into this thing and the old proverbial frog in the water and all that kind of stuff, and regardless of who is president, who the administration is, I mean, you look, for example, there's a guy that we don't need to get off on this tangent right now, but Mr. Trump has just promoted a guy into the intelligence community that's got a third of the time he violates the Constitution as a congressman. And so now we're going, holy cow, that's a great track record. No, it's not. It's unfaithfulness to an oath. I guess we got to take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious business. Because what you've got is Bloomberg. He wants fascism. You got socialists. You got communists. They're all running for office. Donald Trump says we'll never be a socialist nation. Oh, really?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Dr. Scott Bradley with us. His goal to preserve the nation, ladies and gentlemen. And no doubt, a blessed goal. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website where you can get his collegiate educational series, Called to Preserve the Nation, his books, his videos, and more. Also, at that incredible website, FreedomsRisingSun.com. You get weekly webinars on the Constitution. The reason I bring all this up right now, Scott, is because literally Donald Trump is trying to make us believe that we'll never be a socialist nation, not on his watch. It'll never happen or whatever. Trump vows America will never be a socialist country. The problem is, first off, the horse is out of the barn. We're already a big-time socialist country. If you look at the Communist Manifesto on one side of the equation, and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence on the other side of the equation, I don't know what part of socialism we haven't already embraced big time. Now, I understand we're supposed to be a constitutional republic, but we've already gone way down the road of socialism, and to ignore that or to pretend we'll never be one is either ignorant or completely dishonest, one of the two.
You know, it's get the Communist Manifesto out, and really you can read the little booklet in a very short period of time if you can stomach it. I usually have to set it aside and don't want to read it in one reading because it's so oppressive to my spirit. But if you just get the part out with the 10 points, and these are the points that are going to be implemented to bring about a communist country. Now, these are the steps that have to happen. And people say to me, well, how many have we implemented in America? I say, all but one and a half. And they say, which one and a half haven't we? I said, well, I don't know, but there's got to be some little small parts of some of them that we haven't. And so maybe it comes to a sum and substance of one and a half, because you're absolutely right. We have embraced wholeheartedly the 10 points of the Communist Manifesto. When Mr. Trump says stuff like, we'll never be a socialist country, it's kind of Orwellian. You know, war is peace. You know, hunger is, you know.
Well, and I don't know if he just doesn't realize or if he's just stating that. I mean, I don't know. But all I'm telling you is it isn't true. Now, the reason that the Communist Manifesto is not full-blown in America is because we still do have some checks and balances. We still do have a lot of good moral people in the nation. We still do have a lot of the Constitution being applied as well. But they've really managed to create this Communist Manifesto coexisting with the Constitution, violating the Constitution. But it's the Constitution and our belief in God so far, and a lot of good people in this nation, is what's saving us. If we lose the vestiges of those things, we're done for.
I left home when I was 16, and as a teenager, traveled this country from Florida to Alaska and New York and Washington, D.C. to California. I met America, and I love America. I fell in love with the people and the precepts and everything. This was back in the 60s. But here's the deal. We have a lot of people that have embraced this thing and don't even know it. Let's just take our home state, for example. In our election that we had recently, the state overwhelmingly, because they put it on the ballot as a democratically imposed new mandate. So we're creating the law democratically now in Utah, although we're supposed to be a republic, according to the Article 4 of the Constitution. So what we decided as a state, and of course I didn't vote for this, you didn't vote for this, but was an expansion of socialized medicine, overwhelmingly supported by the good people of the state of Utah, because they don't understand that you cannot, under a constitutional republic, redistribute wealth.
Now let's pause here. And even those like me and you who opposed it were relentlessly attacked, saying we don't care about people, we're horrible, we want people to die, or we don't care about others, we're selfish, we got attacked with all these platitudes, when the reality is, hey, they were just promoting socialism, and we were rejecting socialism. But the way they've been using the media to manipulate it, and kind of put us in the doghouse over this discussion, makes us sound like the bad guy. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, you know, charity is wonderful, but compelled charity is tyranny. And it doesn't get you any brownie points on that. I know I'm just kind of overstating this a little bit with God. Because if you were forced to be a good guy, what kind of a good guy are you? Charity should be something that we all engage in. And we, as America, has been the most charitable nation on earth for centuries. But here's the deal. When the Democrat, this is a Democrat socialistic approach, brings this on the Utah ballot, we put it before the people, and the people vote for it, it's a tyranny that's being implemented by democracy, which, and Marx and Lenin and Mao all agreed that democracy is simply a stepping stone to full-blown communism. And that, in our home state, is what we did with socialized medicine. We expanded it so that we could take care of the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted. And the point of the matter should be that churches have a role. Now, churches have backed away from this big time because churches are saying, oh, let them get their money from the government. And so churches, I believe, almost universally are remiss in this now. You can take any church you want to talk about, and almost all of them duck and dodge behind the government-sanctioned welfare state programs that they're doing, and they are, they're dodging their responsibility as a Christian church. And I feel terrible about that, and I feel terrible having to say it, but you go do an examination and find out what they're really looking at now. And they're saying, oh, yeah, they can be, yeah, there's a government safety net. They'll take care of them. We don't
have. All right, let's highlight these 10 points really quick in the Communist Manifesto to make the point, shall we?
If you want to highlight the 10 points of the Communist, do you have them handy in front of you?
I don't.
I'll have them in mere seconds.
But I can talk about them while you're doing that. I can say, look, the 10th one, going backwards, is government education for all, compulsory education for all. That's really what we've got in America. Now, there's been people that have tried to create choices, but even the choices create charter schools, which means, well, we don't really like the socialist or the communist way. We'll do the fascist way, or we'll do the socialist way. And so they'll back into it politely, but it all amounts to the same thing. And they would say, well, we got to have education, or else if we're not educated, we can't save our country. And so they deceive you into believing that it's an absolute necessity, when the fact is it's not. In fact, it's the propaganda tool that is what's making this country socialist.
Well, and in fact, the founding fathers fully believed that education was the key to being able to stay free. However, it was to be left in private hands, and it was to be something that would be allowed to blossom and grow under its, the tutelage of those that had these great and wonderful and delightful ideas of liberty that came right out of the scriptures.
Well, and the founders put their money where their mouth is, though. They would fund education, and they would advocate and put together educational systems, and so would early church leaders of several faiths. And, you know, schools used to be completely differently funded and controlled than they are today.
Absolutely. And if you wanted to take the time, I would review something that a guy by the name of William Foster wrote. He was the head of the Communist Party of the USA back in the 1930s, he wrote a book towards Soviet America in which he outlined the educational system that we are under today. It is our education system today, and it's a communist education system, and it is hundreds of billions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars are used to promote this false philosophy, and it's such multiple levels of insult against this, because they take the money from us, they take our children from us, they educate them, and we have the Bernie Sanders crowd, and of course everybody else that's out there too. But the most quote-unquote conservative of universities are eating out of Bernie's hand. It's absolutely
and when we then put it to a vote, because the people have been so indoctrinated by that very system, they double down and vote for more of it every chance we as a people get.
Absolutely. And that's the problem, is in the home state of Utah that we share, the people should know better, and certainly they ought to know better, but the fact of the matter is they decided by a huge margin. I mean, it was a landslide margin to expand socialized medicine in Utah. I mean, but here's the deal. I like to, yeah, you started the right place in the education of free education for all children in public schools.
And the reason that I start with that one, even though it's last in the list, is because I don't believe the Communist Manifesto has an order. These 10 planks all need to happen for a nation to be communist. But the reason that I start with that one in America is because it's the one that we probably embraced the most.
Well, it's wholeheartedly, and in fact, do it for the children. That seems to be the mantra of everybody. And it's like, yeah, do it for the children. Quit doing this. Let's make our children so that they're able to think and be free and be happy. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just, I look around our community, and we are spending hundreds of millions of dollars in our little community right now for expansion of public education. Now, a lot of it, I admit, is probably in large measure because of the immigration. Utah has become, and particularly our community, has become a sanctuary community or a sanctuary state, undeclared, because that keeps all of everything below the radar, and the people are all very, you know, we don't get to be stressed out about this sanctuary stuff, but we are. And but then we can go back to the top of the Communist Manifesto. Maybe we'll do that when we come back, and I don't know how long we'll play this role. But
you got it. All I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is this is the one that we've embraced the most, is this government school. And if I say I can teach my kids better than the socialists can, then they come back and say, well, you got to help your children be properly socialized.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Washington State, a second person has died of the coronavirus. These are the first two cases of coronavirus-related deaths in the United States. Meanwhile, several other states are starting to confirm their first cases of the virus, including New York State, where a healthcare worker recently returned to the U.S. from Iran. She's now in quarantine, according to Governor Andrew Cuomo.
She does live in Manhattan. She is isolated in her apartment, and there's no cause to do anything but that.
The former chairman and CEO of General Electric has died. Jack Welch's wife, Susie, announcing his death today. Welch took the helm at GE back in 1981. He retired just before the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. Welch was 84 years old. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Pete Buttigieg has suspended his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination just one day after a disappointing finish in the South Carolina primary. Buttigieg saying dropping out now is the best way to unify Americans and get Donald Trump out of the White House in November.
I will no longer seek to be the 2020 Democratic nominee for president, but I will do everything in my power to ensure that we have a new Democratic president come January.
Voters in 14 states will be casting their votes tomorrow, which is Super Tuesday. The longest war in American history might be winding down now after a deal was struck with the Taliban, an agreement that was signed on Saturday. And on Sunday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was touting the deal on the news shows, but stressed that it's about accountability and not just trust, and said the path forward will still be difficult. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Sadly, it's almost laughable. Has America been influenced by communism? All right, so I started with the 10th plank because I think it's the one that's the easiest to understand that's live and well in America. And even when I say that I can teach my kids better than the government schools can, people come back to me and they go, well, you got to make sure your kids understand social things, right, Sam? You don't want them to be a weird homeschool, and you got to make sure they're socialized. And boy, have we got that going on in spades in America, Scott Bradley.
You know, I've talked to some of your listeners, maybe perhaps in the past, about William Foster and the Communist Party USA towards Soviet America. I just mentioned it shortly ago. Let me just quote his statement out of there. Every single aspect of this has been accomplished in America, and as you point out, the free public education has now promoted everything else in the Communist Manifesto to the point that in Utah they vote for socialized medicine. So here's what he said. The schools, colleges, and universities will be coordinated and grouped under the National Department of Education. Check. And its state and local branches. Check. The studies will be revolutionized. Check. Being cleansed of religious. Check. Patriotic. Check. Other features of the bourgeois ideology. Check. The students will be taught on the basis of Marxian dialectical materialism. Check. Internationalism. Check. And the general ethics of the new socialist society. Check. Present obsolete methods of teaching will be superseded by the scientific pedagogy. A pedagogy, again, is a teaching methodology, and that is exactly, I just had the other day someone that's involved in education talk to me about how the new science indicates how education should occur. It's muddle-minded, mush-brained kind of stuff that's going on in this new thing.
Well, and they call it new math check. They call it Common Core check. I could go on and on. People are familiar with this.
We've got people in our community that are so excited to have an immersion program where they teach Mandarin Chinese and they teach you math in Mandarin Chinese. And it's like, people, pick the subject, learn the subject, and move ahead. If people want to learn Mandarin Chinese, let them either pay for their own courses or somehow, bring a tutor into the home, whatever. But if you're going to teach U.S. history in Mandarin Chinese, because that's how these immersion programs work, where they teach every subject in a given topic, it's like, what fools we are. Our educational level is already struggling. And think for a moment. If you've got a teacher whose primary language, first language, whatever you want to call it, is English, is now tasked with the responsibility of teaching math in Mandarin, what kind of education is happening there, people? And we've got people so excited. I know in Utah this is a really big thing, doing an immersion program where they teach Portuguese. And where are you going to use Portuguese? If you're going to be a missionary, maybe? But that's the thing, is Portuguese is not a principal language in this world. And we just go forward. But that's, you talk about the 10th point of the Communist Manifesto. That's how it's being handled, and we're being given mushroom brains, and the humanist religion is being taught in our public education system. Like I said, don't get me started.
All right, so the 10th plank, though, in my opinion, is kind of the precursor that we've fallen subject to, that really then becomes the catalyst to force the other nine down our throats. Let's talk about the other nine, but I submit to you that it's the education system that has got us comfortable with these other nine.
Well, let's just take the second point for a second. Heavy progressive or graduated income tax. And here we have, let's just take one of the most conservative, quote-unquote, self-appointed, self-proclaimed conservative senators in Utah. Well, oh, dang it, I'm giving away my... You tell the joke and you tell the pun. I mean, the punchline before you get to it. I wasn't going to say where this was from, but at any rate, there are about 10 levels of progressive income tax, where the more you make, the higher percentage you pay. This conservative senator wants to lower it to 4. 4 instead of 10. Boy, you're desperate. We have moved ahead so far, but it's still a heavy progressive graduated income tax.
And we applaud the 4 over 10. The problem is, hey, again, all we're doing is moving a little bit more socialistic. The 10 would be more communistic. The 4 would be more socialistic, making us believe we wouldn't have it, but it's just basically version light, right?
I'm not sure which one's more conservative or not. They're both Communist Manifesto points. And whether you have 4 progressive...
No, but don't worry. 4 is kind of socialism a little bit. It's a little bit lighter, you know. You feel better about it there, Scott. Well, see, that's where the deception is.
There's bigger leaps between the two, but 10, 4, who cares? We're arguing about a semantical kind of thing that says we've embraced socialism. We love it. If it just has a little kinder, gentler face, how about this idea of confiscation of property? The idea of red flag laws. That's the basis of that. The idea of these big taxes that happen when you die, these inheritance taxes, these death taxes, the idea that you can confiscate people's property when they're accused of a crime, even though they never maybe ever get convicted of it, you end up confiscated under civil asset forfeiture, and it never comes back to you unless you use up all your assets trying to give it back. This stuff has become kind of the mainstream of American republicanism, centralization of credit, this idea of the Federal Reserve. I mean, that's a great big huge major thing in this.
And then hold on, so we got the Federal Reserve. It's as fascist as it gets. It's supposedly a private banking cartel, but at the same time it's government, but it's quasi who knows what. It's fascism on steroids. And then you put the three credit agencies, Experian, Equifax and TransUnion, which are supposedly private corporations that control everybody's credit scores in a, quote, private three-pronged database, but yet, hey, the government writes all the laws related to it, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the da-da-da-da-da-da, to where it's as fascist as it gets.
Indeed. You look at this equal liability of all the work. There's a resurgence of this effort to get the Equal Rights Amendment out there. You know, it's like, oh, man, women are second-class citizens. No, we're destroying any of the laws that might ultimately. We're going to have a draft, ultimately. In fact, there's a report due out to Congress this month about their investigation of whether or not women ought to be included in registering for the draft. And, of course, they'll say, oh, well, dear, yeah, we're not going to draft anybody, but they should register for it. And then ultimately, when we do go to war with Iran or somebody, and it's kind of grinding our troops up in a meat grinder, they'll say, oh, unfortunately, we've got to implement a draft again. The girls will be in there. When we start shipping body bags home with parts of girls in them, and they people do come home in pieces, there's no question about it. And it's like, oh, well, and by the way, in past times, before we got in this insanity level in the United States, The courts said that they couldn't draft girls because they couldn't serve in combat. Now they can because of buffoons that we've had in leadership. And they are buffoons. And they get all of the generals to go along. You know, I've got a good friend. He's a retired officer, high-ranking military officer. And he tells me that on January 20th, 1993, was the last date that we could have military officers that we were sure, well, we're relatively sure, were committed to trying doing the right thing in terms of defending the nation. Now, you might recall that was the day that Bill Clinton got sworn into office. And ever since then, most of the officers that have taken the oath of office and accepted the rank of officership have become political hacks. And they give the political hacks that we vote into office whatever they want. And so our military has become largely polluted by political hacks. Now, there are some, I'm sure, that are kind of covert, if you will, under the radar, still patriots that are committed to doing the right thing for the nation. But a very high percentage of them have accepted this political correctness thing. When you go to West Point and you watch them putting up the black fist of the black hand, whether it's out of the Bosnian era of 100 years ago, or whether it's the Soviet thing that happened in Bolshevik and the communist thing that happened with the movement in America in the 60s, it's a revolutionary salute, and we've got them at West Point giving the salute that way.
It's Holy a shame cow. To say the least, ladies and gentlemen. It's part of the indoctrination we face big time. We're just proving how entrenched this communist slash socialist slash fascism agenda is in America. Let's move to farming and agriculture, really the control of farms. They don't care if you own the land and they control it or they own the land. It's all, again, government manipulation of the truth. Donald Trump has doubled down on this as he renegotiates the trade agreements. He's been given massive increases amounts to farmers to keep them alive, and it couldn't get more fascist than the redistribution of wealth through the farm programs he's put together. He's doubled down and expanded that big time.
Well, you know, you got all sorts of programs, this crop rotation plan that they give you money not to grow anything and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is, you might say you own your property, and there's a lot that don't anymore because of debt. But if you do, they're telling you how you're going to use it. That's fascism at the very least, you know?
Yeah, but then all the money going back and controlling it with the money, too, and the bailouts. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Let's talk about it on your radio. And then, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt has some good news.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally." the solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley, Kirk Crosby, and Sam Bushman breaking down this reality. Donald Trump vows America will never be a socialist country, and I pray that's true, but I see too much of it already. Right? Sadly, Republicans are socialists, Democrats are becoming flat-out communist, and both have plenty of fascism mixed in. Is America being influenced by communism? And the answer is clearly a yes. But I look at this farm information, and I say even Donald has been backed in. I mean, he's really... on one hand, he says we're against socialism. On the other hand, he's applying it liberally when it comes to the farmers and agriculture.
Well, there's no question he's doing it with the agriculture and the direction of how our farms will work. But it's happening in our factories, if you will. You look at government ownership and control over the production of automobiles, for example, and how basically the government bought General Motors here a few years ago. You look at how our mortgage industry is handled, how every single aspect of it is directed by the national government. You look at our medical processes where, our factories where people are born and get, their health care. Every aspect of that is directed by a government agency. It's medical is probably a sixth or seventh of the entire U.S. economy. And it's, we gleefully, joyfully have handed that over. We got Trump saying he's going to make our pharmacy costs less money. Well, how do you do that? But by government intervention. And then we could get off on the tangent about how so much of what's being brought in by the pharmacy companies is brought in from slave labor, low-quality production in China. I mean, it's like we are just upside down and backwards, folks. This, we've got plenty of trouble, and the whole solution is in a restoration of the founding principles, going back to them, getting government out of things, the limited powers, checks and balances, all those things where we recognize government has its role and no other. But we've made government kind of the template of what society is. That's the first place people run. It's become a huge, huge presence in every American's life, and it didn't used to be. It was not necessary. Almost nobody had any contact with the government agent.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, abolition of land, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, abolition of all rights of inheritance. That one is live and well in America, too. Folks have tried to get rid of it, but it seems to stay there.
Well, the confiscation of private property is expanding dramatically, and it's like what Mr. Trump said, let's take the guns and we'll work out due process later. This idea of, and red flag laws, I don't know how many, there's probably 16 or 17 states that have those things now, and it's just an amazing encroachment on our liberty, and people are saying, we need common sense laws that will make us safer or whatever. I mean, come on. Everything is diminishing our liberty.
All right, you got centralization of the means of communications and transportation by the state as well, and I just think of the FCC and all these government-controlled roads, and, you know, the government controls the airlines, the government controls, the government owns the trains, right?
Well, and then if you go through your Gestapo checkpoint in the airports, I mean, you've got government agents that are sexually molesting you. I mean, it's just bizarre what's happening where the agents, they're not brown shirts, they're blue shirts now. And it's bizarre. You know that in October, if they don't change it, we're going to all have to have our national ID to go into federal buildings or get on an airplane because of the regulations that were passed right after 9/11. A national ID card is going to be required to be in everybody's back pocket.
Well, it already is in Utah. I've already got my card with a star. You don't have that, you can't fly, buddy.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't have one of those, and I think I may have told your listeners.
You better get it, or you won't be flying anytime soon, my friend.
Well, I think October's the deadline, but here's the deal. Utah rolled over on that, as has virtually everybody else, but it's a government-mandated national ID card. It's got to have all the stipulations on it, but here's the deal. When individuals that have entered the country illegally, and they get captured, they get written a ticket. They have the Under Obama as well as under Trump, they have been they've been moving them by bus or by airplane to other parts of the country to await their time to appear before court for their ticket. The airlines have been allowing them to use that ticket as identification to get on the airlines. Now, we have to have very specified identification to get on there. Not too long ago, I attempted to use my concealed carry card to get on. I was deflected and turned back. Now, I ultimately gave them a driver license that because the national ID card is not in there, they accepted that. But they would not accept my state-issued concealed carry card with all sorts of safeguards on it, like the holographing and all that kind of stuff, as identification to get on an airplane, as a U.S. citizen, as somebody. If you have a concealed carry
card. Yeah, you got to be illegal to have fuzzy documentation, sir. We demand that you have it correct, my friend.
And that's what's happening in America today. And the TSA is just an extension of government tyranny over all of us. It's eyewash. We're not safer because of them. What they do is we're being basically,
programmed.
It's a programming or a conditioning or whatever you want to call it to papers. You know, the old Nazis going through the train or the Gestapo or the Stasi or whoever going through the train asking for people's papers. This is America today.
All right. Well, speaking of the controlling of the movement of people, there's three stories Kurt has. And, you know, Kurt's famous whenever I bring up some of this bad news going on. And I don't like to bring up bad news, but I do like to bring up reality checks from time to time. And then I like to focus on how we can get out of it or what we can do to change it. I don't want to be negative, but I do want to highlight where we are so we can highlight where we really want to go and provide leadership to get there. Nevertheless, Kurt will say sometimes, other than that, it's not so bad. But he's got three stories that appear pretty negative at first, but yet, you know, it might be positive, right? So you got the coronavirus going on, and I believe it's already been here and it's been passed around plenty. They act like it's just coming here, but I believe it's been here for quite some time. And many people have already had it, but that's another topic. Anyway, suffice it to say, though, there is some good news coming out of the coronavirus, Kurt.
Well, yeah, for example, at least in my opinion, you got a little more family time. The headline, one of them from Breitbart reads, Seattle area high school shuttered over coronavirus fears. They've got all these ways to work from home and everything else and do your online school. Why not embrace it now and just shutter those massive government buildings? Then you've got... let's see, other coronavirus ones. Japan to close schools nationwide in bid to contain coronavirus.
See, at least your kids won't be having, indoctrination into the Communist Manifesto if they shut them down there. Scott, that's the good news out of this, right?
I don't know. They've got online schools now that are absolutely a replication of the public education. You're getting indoctrinated whether you're at home on your computer or not, if you embrace...
You had to bring that up. I mean, had to.
It's too bad.
But all I'm telling you is if they shut down the schools, they didn't say they were cranking up the online schools. They just said they were shutting them down. So if they do that, I'm just saying, hey, at least there's some good.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Right?
Break the mold. That's what you need to do, people.
Yeah,
that's
you're
exactly
feeling a lot
right.
better now.
I'm better. Scott I'm better.
I'm glad. You know, and I'm not saying that they can't indoctrinate you via online. They can, but I'm just saying when I hear the schools are being shut down in Seattle and in Japan, I'm thinking at least we have a hope, a little sliver of opportunity to teach people the truth and have them, you know, break the matrix, if you will. Now, the Swiss government is kind of doing something very interesting.
Well, yeah, the AP reported Swiss government bans all events over 1,000 people. Now, if you got 999, hey, you know, I guess you're probably fine. But, you know, if you get that one more, boop.
Yeah, it's probably really against, you know, Trump rallies. Those are the only politicians getting more than 1,000 people these days. So there you go. Anyway, I bring that up, though, to say that interesting. They're controlling the movement of people, which is another telltale sign of what control they have over us.
Well, it is, and ultimately, and finally, we may have bans on travel via air. I mean, if you can travel in your private car and not have to buy gas, maybe you'll be okay. I don't know, but it is really astounding how suddenly we have these draconian laws. By the way, go look at Draco, the Greek guy that is named after, and all the laws he created just for the benefit of society to keep the peace and keep them secure and everything like that. And it became a no wiggle room society. And that's where the term comes from. But these things are being implemented on a nationwide basis. And holy Hannah. I mean, we could talk about vaccines here in a minute. I mean, I remember back in 1976 how Gerald Ford mandated everybody had to get this vaccine. And there were more people died from the vaccine than died from the flu. It was absolutely astonishing. And government just said, this is it, people. You're going to take this because we're going to have this big epidemic if you don't. It was a very mild flu season, and more people died from the flu shot than they did from the flu. And this may be the path wrong now. I don't know. And maybe it'll be as bad as they want to make it. I don't know. But any opportunity for oh, ain't it awful, there's going to be somebody trying to capitalize on it. And I think it's astonishing. I've told you the story about the Y2K and me talking to this senator about it and how we were going to marshal the forces of America to fight it like a war. Y2K was a non-issue. Because the people had skin in the game, fixed it. And it wasn't the government-mandated thing that fixed it. It was private industry. The people were responding. That's the solution, is let's go back to what we had and quit trying to force everything by government edict, you know?
Donald Trump vows America will be never be a socialist country. I pray that he's right. But I'm just not seeing it like that, Scott. I see that we're already so far down this road, unless we do an absolute educational and then a hard 180, I don't know how we can stop this, quote, progressive effort from just flat out continuing unabated. And when the people aren't even educated enough to stop it or to call a halt to the con game, if you will, we're in serious trouble unless we can educate and then rise up peacefully and say, not on our watch, right?
You know, in my book, I speak of a little book written by James Clavell back in the 60s. It's haunted me for decades. I mean, since the early 1960s, honestly. And I've tried to spread it around. It's called A Children's Story. And it talks about the United States being captured by a foreign power and the re-education effort that's put in, starting, you know, at the youngest ages. And the story takes place in a 20-minute segment of a second-grade class. But of course, it's all according to the age ability of people to be retrained. But they begin in the public education system, retraining these little second grade, sweet, innocent children in the new dogma. Okay? And that's the problem. In America, we are doing this at the lowest levels. We're educating our children the new dogma that it is the scientific pedagogy of the Communist Manifesto.
Ladies and gentlemen, you gotta get on your knees and pray hard, and then you gotta get up and go to work, and you gotta not be deceived. And the only way to not be deceived is to repent and to forgive and to turn to Christ and learn from the author of Liberty about freedom and agency and stand against tyranny every chance we get. Thank you, Scott.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Kurt.
You're welcome, sir. And, you know, God bless America.
By the way, go see the local honeyman. Localhoneyman.com on the internet. Or 801-669-2211 by voice or text. God save the Republic of the United States of America.